Third Coast Digest is brought to you in part by 91.7 FM, WMSE Frontier Radio.
Deborah Ferris, welcome.
Thank you for coming in.
Now, you are the executive director of DanceWorks.
Yes.
And DanceWorks is a dance company, and you have classes that you teach at your facility down on Water Street. But DanceWorks is also known as a great arts educator in the schools, in the public school system. Can you tell me a little bit about, did it start out as a dance company, or did it start out as a place to learn how to dance, or did it start out in the schools?
Since I've been here, 2002,
right,
I've had to look at it as an arts organization because of its broad reach.
Right.
From the beginning, the answer is yes, it's always had this three-prong focus, if you will. Performance.
Right.
It is the essence of it. We're performing artists. From that, though, we feel very committed to sharing the work that we do and taking the work out into the community, as well as developing new artists and new audiences. So from that, you're teaching classes and you're taking the work that you do on stage and in the studio out into the community. So
right.
From the beginning, we had that broad reach.
And when you say out into the community, you take it right into the school system.
Right. Into the schools, right into the county senior sites, whatever facility it is that has need for some creative programming.
Right.
We go.
You go and you offer. So you go into senior sites and teach?
Yes.
And have dance classes.
You're,
wow.
You know, I don't want to get too broad in our discussion, but we have two signature outreach programs. One is DanceWorks Mad Hot Ballroom and Tap.
Right.
Most people are familiar with that. And our lesser known, a real jewel of a program is our Intergenerational Multi-Arts Project.
Oh, cool.
That developed really out of our focus in two areas prior
right.
to me. Multi-arts residencies. We have a multi-arts approach. We have a gallery and work with visual arts in our summer camps and school days off workshops, and then in our work in the schools as well
right.
and with the elders. We were in schools. We did multi-arts residencies and worked a lot with arts at large in
right.
the beginning.
Okay.
And then we were in, because of the 50-plus initiative that we were funded by the NEA, we were providing multi-arts residencies in county senior sites. And when I came on, I just thought, you can imagine, with the performance company and with a growing studio, and then we're out in all these different areas, it's like, oh my gosh, we've got to focus in somehow. How can we rein it in a little? And
right.
it made perfect sense to me to combine the two groups, and we created the Intergenerational
Multi-Arts
right. Project. So we team county sites and other elder facilities up with neighboring schools.
With neighboring schools. How great.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Right, that's good. But let's talk about Mad Hot Ballroom, because Mad Hot Ballroom is a phrase, a name that I think people might be familiar with, because there was a great
documentary
movie in Australia, wasn't it?
No.
No.
That was...
I'm misinformed.
Simply Ballroom, I think.
Oh, that's the one. I'm confused.
Yeah, there's you know, it's a real push, which is good, to our credit. Because
right.
of Dancing with the Stars and all of it, I think it makes the work that we're doing more successful.
Right.
With the kids, certainly.
What, but just talk about, what is that work? You go into, what schools do you go into?
Well, first, can we get the movie right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because that's important.
right.
The documentary was created because of a very successful arts education program in New York City led
okay.
by Pierre Dulaine. And so successful that Amy Sewell did the documentary on it, where the
right.
kids, he went in and taught ballroom. And there was a fictionalized version of that Antonio Banderas did that told the story. But that, so we don't want to get, and I don't remember what that one's called.
I can't remember the name of it either.
Anyway, Pierre
but I know the
really
one.
Developed the program, and Amy documented it.
Okay.
And Mario Costantini and his wife Kathy saw the film and called me and said, Deb, you've got to see it. You've just got to see this. And after I saw it, I agreed. He said, do you think we can bring this to Milwaukee? And through a film friend that he has, Lauren Stevens, in New York, he made connection that week with Amy Sewell,
right.
who agreed to come and help us kick off a program here. And we started in 2005 a pilot with three schools.
Right.
Got funding from Don and Sally Davis, seed money, $5,000, which was just enough to get us through those three schools
right.
for the first 12 weeks that we did. And then we didn't have to make a single call. Word traveled very quickly. And in January, we kicked off the program in 22 schools. And Marcus Center and UPAF did great work in shining a light on the program, bringing awareness to it. And Marcus Center made E-line available to us at, so we could get in there. I don't think we would have ever been able to with all of the unions, but they helped us get started. And Amy came, all the schools came, and we kicked off the program with a celebration at E-line Hall. So that was how it started. And then since then, we haven't had to call a single school. They come to us. And the challenge is really sustaining the growth of the program, monitoring it, making sure that we keep that same level of excellence that we started with.
Keep the quality up with that, right? Don't push too far.
Right. We focus on fifth and sixth grade.
Right.
Because those are we have found in speaking with the past superintendent that those are really the grades where kids spike. They start dropping out. Mm-hmm. And we know that we can't do everything. So that's where we focus. Now, our other programs focus on second and third grade. And just now this year, because of the success and because we've been doing it for 6 years, our kids are now in high school. We have requests from high schools to do the program. And I have to say, that was not successful in New York. Pierre started in high schools, and the kids were just too cocky, couldn't do it. So middle age was more the focus.
Right.
So we're in five high schools now as well.
Hopefully, you are? What schools? What high schools?
Oh, boy. Mesmer. Oh, I've got to get you the list. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay.
That's okay. They'll come to me throughout the interview.
Yeah, just toss them out when you come. Well, what can you remember? The middle schools? Fifth and sixth
all
grade?
Of the schools, all 42 schools?
42 schools.
Yeah,
no, you don't have to remember all of them.
Don't make me recite the 42 but, schools. Well, we focus, I will say, on the schools that are most challenged for resources. They don't have arts programming. We really, really want to focus on, you know, you can talk about Milwaukee's issues with segregation, the challenges there, but I think the elephant in the room is the poverty. And we've got to be addressing that. And so our focus is really on schools with the fewest resources, Central City schools, but it's open to everybody, even suburban schools.
Right. Anybody can call you up and say, can you get us in your schedule?
And many private schools as well. Charter schools have the same situation. They're in great need.
Right.
And so we have some private, some charters as well. It's a broadly integrated program.
Is it an after-school program or an in-school program?
The goal is in-school.
Right.
That's really where we want to be. And we have very clear criteria going into a school, applications that they fill out to make sure that the teacher will be present, that we work within the school day, because that's the real essence of the program. It's strengthening the relationships between the kids in the classroom, the kids and the teachers, even the principal to the classroom, and from there how that then strengthens the curricular activity as well, which I know is, you know, we'll move into another discussion. There are a few schools that can guarantee us that the kids will have consistent attendance, and so we allow them to have an after-school program.
Right. Okay.
But that's so tough. After school, you're talking about a whole nother area of challenge. CLCs, consistency of the kids' attendance is huge, huge challenge.
Right, because they have so many distractions as soon as school is out.
Right.
Yeah, it's better to
and
be
limited
in.
Staff. You know, kids come in and out. You have a different set of kids every week. So you've got to know what you're getting into.
And those kids in those schools that you focus on have, well, they have a lot of difficulties in terms of who's transportation, how are they going to get home, who's going to be at home, especially at that age.
Correct. After school you're talking about?
After school.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you go into the schools and you teach ballroom dancing. You teach tap also, correct?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
The original plan was because we have a strong tap component to Dance Works.
Right.
We have a tap company. We teach a lot of tap. And we wanted to put our own twist on the – we didn't want to just copy what was done.
Right.
So we had originally started with offering tap to a school in either fourth or fifth grade. And then they could choose – in fifth or sixth ballroom.
Right.
And we wanted to consecutively build on first introducing tap, which doesn't have the challenge of dancing with a partner.
Right.
Teaching dance discipline, some simple technique. But as it has ended up, tap is more difficult than ballroom. But schools love it all the same.
Yeah.
And the bigger challenge, which gets into another area as well, measuring all of this, assessing the work, is that kids switch now more and more from semester to semester, much less from year to year. It's very difficult to make sure that you'll have the same student from year to year at the same school.
Right.
Really, really tough.
Right.
They're moving all over the place.
Yeah, because their family's moving and
schools
are closing
changing. And all kinds of things.
Right.
All kinds
which
of
is
things.
A but, tragedy of another sort.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that we don't do everything we can to keep our hands on those kids. And we offer a phase two program for all the kids that go through it where they can come back and continue with tap and ballroom classes, Or they, through MPS, Foundation, Partnership for the Arts Fund, we can provide scholarships to the kids to take our classes,
right.
Our summer camps, our school day off workshops, and
right.
a lot is available to them. So we try to keep in touch with them, even though they may switch schools, was my point.
Now, do the schools buy your services, or are you funded by other people?
We have to work like crazy every year to raise funds.
Right.
From the beginning, we've had to raise all the funds at the beginning. Now, the challenge is to sustain the program and to shepherd schools and to accept responsibility as well and to work with us. So the formula that we have come up with, the overall overarching expense, including everything, is about $5,999 per school.
Per school, okay.
Yeah.
For how long a program is it?
12 weeks.
12 weeks, right.
2 hours a week for each grade. So there's
okay.
4 hours offered at each school, and then the competition. There's orientation. There's follow-up with the teachers. But we have looked at asking the schools to just cover the cost of the teacher going into the schools, which is $62.50 for each hour. So that comes to $3,000 for the school or $1,500 for a class.
Okay.
That's ideal. Then we
right.
match that.
Right.
And we've had some success. We were starting an upward trend up until this year, and mm-hmm. where we were really getting the schools on board with that, it was just sliced right. The rug was pulled right out from underneath us. All the schools said, we don't have any money this year. We have
right.
none. So what I've been doing is going around to each of the schools to talk to the principals and the program coordinators or the teachers to really work with them internally to find ways to develop the mentality that we can work together to provide this for our school. And I think a really brilliant idea came up at Tippecanoe, a new father, made a donation of, I don't even remember how much it was, $50, $75. It could have been a little bit more, but had his business match it.
Right.
And so they had that reduced from that $3,000 fee. It was actually $500. They had $1,000 knocked off of that
right
$3,000
right
away.
By one guy.
And then they also do internal fundraisers
right.
within the schools.
Big sales things. Like,
different
right.
schools have been more successful than others. But what I think now is that it's the principals and teachers are so overloaded, and it's really tough for them to be the fundraisers for it. But
right.
schools have PTOs and PTAs, and they're selling nuts and peanuts and pizzas and things like that.
Right.
Why not work to garner the fund, raise the funds to have the arts education programming in the schools?
Right.
But that takes a little education. I said I'd be happy to come and talk to the parent groups and just to build awareness, the need, and get everybody on board. Then if you've got that central nucleus thinking that way, then look around the community of the school, the businesses that are connected
right.
there as well.
Right.
Show the value of it. Show the need. Show the outcomes that are wonderful, and then continue to build the community around the school.
Right.
So it's not looking at it in my mind that all the arts funding is cut. It's like, okay, well, that's a challenge. So how do we do it?
Where do we find the
how
money?
How do we work
yeah.
together?
Because it's there. Because the need is obviously there, and
right.
the joy that it brings is
right.
there. I mean, the parental involvement, I mean, I would guess, and I've been to, don't you do a presentation at the end of the year at Bradley Center? I've
yes.
been there and seen that, and the parental involvement is great.
Very exciting.
And that's what everybody, especially in these schools you're talking about, is always saying, we can't find the parents.
I know. Oh, it's so tough. You know, and even in your area of looking at measuring this,
mm-hmm.
we're doing huge work in assessment. We're working with Rebecca Bardwell at Marquette.
Okay.
Developing our own tools that are looking at focusing on the quantitative results of grades improved, behavior, and attendance.
You have to do
huge
that in
difficult.
Order to, right.
Really difficult to get that. But mm-hmm. we continue to work on that and refine it.
Right.
Then now we're working on a research project with that Northwestern Mutual is funding with Mary Reinders and six other arts groups that's based on EQ study, the emotional quotient,
okay.
which is looking at more the social development of the child and how that can be then an asset in the schoolwork and then out into the community and in the workforce as well.
Well, so, that's something as an artist I completely understand, but is that the EQ, is that something that people who run governments and bureaucracies, that they actually give some credence to?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think you want to see productive workers.
Right.
And so that's the outcome that we want to show them more than the outcome of, you know, the program itself. We want to give them the people that are fulfilling the work that we're doing.
Right. You want to give them people, and that's what my claim is productive. Always, that the arts create people that function in the economy rather than
creative
being a drain on the economy.
Have found, you know, their legs a little bit. We all know the outcome of being in a venue where you are successful. Everybody needs to be successful.
Right.
And for so many kids that are not doing well in school, I was one of those. I shut down. I was shy. I didn't pay attention. Geometry, you had to go up and write those, you know, T-bars on the bar and solve it. I was like, I could have died when my turn, you know, was to go up. And for me, the creative experience, dance, voice, painting, drawing, writing, all of that, that's what got me through.
Right.
So for kids now to not have that opportunity, I was blessed. I had parents that exposed me to that. You know, I got to see Sound of Music at the Pabst Theater when I was 8 years old, and that changed my life. If kids don't have that opportunity and we aren't giving it to them, they're sitting around watching TV. Everything is in their cell phones,
right.
their games, computer games. And how are we going to shift that, you know, that real trend for our kids? So to be able to provide that opportunity for students within the classroom day, where students that aren't doing very well can now, they have to do it. We don't give them the choice,
right,
unless it's against their religion. I'll say, okay, that's
right.
Fine. You can sit out.
Okay.
Right.
But otherwise, you have to, yeah.
Yeah, or try. And the class has to work together to bring everyone into it.
Right.
It's not just, you know, it's not about doing this individually. It's the teamwork. So what they find is, even though they didn't think they'd like it, that they like it. And then not only that they like it, but they're good at it.
Right.
And so how that transposes then their experience in the classroom and then into life is
right.
Just, that's the transformation. That's the real jewel of the program.
Now, fifth and sixth grade mm-hmm. is tough to focus on with ballroom dancing because the boy-girl thing is starting to.
Well, it's an important time to be focusing on that.
It is. I mean, it's great to be doing it because, I mean, the way the society is sort of driving them apart,
yes.
The way that the culture normally perceives it does that. So you're giving them a formalized way of
the socialization, yeah, and the camaraderie.
Yeah.
It's, you know, with, I think, the excitement, has this been successful? Yes, I would say it has been successful. And it really has, you know, that same excitement of a sports game, but it's got the creative component and it's got the socialization. So it's like a home run. It's,
right.
So I forget what the question was, I'm sorry. Do you remember?
I don't remember either, but it was a good answer. The home run, they love sports analogies. Everybody loves sports analogies. That's good. No, it is a home run. Of course it is. The hard thing for me always is to understand why it's so difficult to get other people to understand why team building skills that you get, why confidence that you get in your body and in your voice from theater training or dance training or art, why creativity, the culture of innovation that President Obama talks about that we have to deal with now, creativity, spontaneity, why those things that are all developed by the arts, why that's so expendable in some way, that it takes in order for there to be arts and education in the city of Milwaukee, and I think this is true probably in most cities, it takes groups like Dance Work, groups like First Aid, groups like Arts at Large, outside groups find their own funding and come in and offer it as something. Why?
Well, you know, my first response is, well, I can't answer that because I'm not of that mind. I can't,
right.
You know, go into those heads. But I would be generous in my answer because when I talk to the schools, the response is, we are not evil people, not wanting arts. The choice between having a teacher that stands there all day teaching and music.
Mm-hmm.
And so they make the choice. And even with, you know, Dr. Thornton, who I want to make an appointment to talk to, I haven't sat down with him yet, and I just haven't had the opportunity. But I want to do that. I heard from some of the teachers I spoke to when he did the orientation for all of the teachers at the beginning of this past year,
mm-hmm.
that he integrated dance into that day of training. And so I would not say that it's, you know, this big, dark group of people that are anti-art.
It's not the evil empire.
It gets down to, are we going to eat or are we going to dance? You know, I think really it's. And I was talking to Mario a little about it, and he said, well, Deb, I think it's like looking at bread or roses.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about that last night, and I woke up in the night, actually, and it really is more about bread and water, I think, if you're looking at math and science or you know, creative experience, mm-hmm. reading English or having that creative experience, because you need both. I mean, China's been very successful with math and science and driving those kids. They develop like robots. They live in a house together. They wear their uniforms. It's very different than what our kids are coming from.
Right.
And any teacher will tell you there needs to be balance. Kids, they need to have fun. It needs to be an integrated day. You can't just sit them down for those blocks of math and science and expect them to be thriving students, happy, showing up.
But doesn't China have integrated into their education system a very strong dance program?
In their schools? Well, that's a good question. I don't want to speak like an authority on China, but I think that I'm speaking to one special that I saw where I saw how much support those kids are getting outside of school to be able to focus the way they do within school. And our kids are coming from, good heavens. I mean, the stories, you know, rip your heart out. Maybe their brother was shot yesterday.
Right.
I mean, they're living with who knows who, not their parents, maybe one of them. I mean, they come, Clark Street School, when people say, well, you get taxpayers' dollars, I don't even know if I can put this on the air, but I'm sharing it because it just moved me in a way that I have never really felt as deeply inside of me. The kids come, and their clothes are wet because someone tried to rinse out those clothes, but they don't have a dryer.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to have clothes.
Right.
They don't have pencils and paper. They don't come with proper shoes. They don't have coats, mittens, hats. The schools, the administrative staff there is pitching in to make sure the kids have these very basic needs.
Right.
So if that's what we're looking at, in that same school, I talked with the principal, and she said, you know, Debbie, when I first heard about this, I've taken the kids to see performances of things, and they haven't been interested. And so when I heard ballroom dancing, I thought, there is no way I'm going to get these kids to do that. But the program coordinator wanted to give it a shot.
Right.
And she said, I am so wrong. What I have seen is just amazing. They used an example of one young boy who was so shy that his mother had even said, please don't have him do this. It will just be too painful for him. He
mm-hmm.
can't do it. He could never look anyone in the class in the eyes, and he would never talk.
Right.
And he did the program, and he's like a leader in the class now. And I want to go back the day that I was at the school, he wasn't there, but I want to shake his hand, and I want him to step up to be a leader with the new classes coming in to, you know, model what he had learned. And that's the way you build that esteem, though, in the schools. You can't build continuity of programming. What have the kids learned, and how do you develop that? How do we work together to continue to develop that to make really good human beings? That's the goal.
Right. The goal is to create children that grow to be adults that are part of the society, a good part of the society, good functioning part of the society.
Team players, believe in themselves.
Right.
Have some hope in a dark situation, you know, and can push through. And
can
have learned how to think creatively when people tell you can't do it. Well, you figure out a way how to.
Right.
That's what my day's about every day of the week.
Right.
You know?
Thank you very much for coming to talk. It's inspirational.
That's it?
Yeah, we've talked for a long time. You've got more to say.
We'll do more. So much. We do part two?
Yeah.
Act two, intermission. No, it was wonderful.